Well, thank you, Pastor Matthew, for being us in the first part of this worship service this evening. We'll now turn to the Word of God and look at the text, which is verses 7 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, and certainly like to welcome all those who are joining us online. But hear the words of the Lord, our text for this evening, from verse 7. But to each of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the civil authorities are saying that you can't get back to normal work, normal life, until there's a pill or for treating the disease or a vaccine to prevent it. So people are eagerly waiting for a pill or a vaccine so they can go back to normal work. And we hope they work. But there are many uncertainties with those things. There may be side effects from the pills or from the vaccines. It may be costly and people can't afford it. They may not work. And of course, the virus could change and then all bets are off. You have to start working again. On the other hand, when the Lord Jesus gave his disciples the command to live for him and to fight or work for him, he promised them everything they needed and he delivered. Yes, the disciples were fearful after the crucifixion. Many of them ran, hid. In fact, they all did. But the Lord strengthened them, and then he promised to equip them even further when he ascended into heaven. They would be strengthened and encouraged, and their fear would be gone, so they could take on the devil, the world, and their flesh with confidence. And this is what you will hear about today from God's Word. Our headings are two, gifts for Christian living, and then second, the goals of the gifts of Christian living. Our goals are that you will be supplied, you will know that you're supplied with all you need and you're strengthened with Christ's gifts so that you can serve the church of Jesus Christ and bring glory to him. First, we will consider then the gifts for Christian living. The gifts for Christian living. First of all, how do you get these gifts? These gifts that you need so desperately to live as a Christian in an antagonistic world with the devil, the world, and your flesh always opposing you. And how are you able to serve Christ? You need these gifts to do those things. Well, these gifts came through the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 68 that we just sang and appealed to this messianic psalm of victory. At the time of the writing of Psalm 68, David was celebrating his victories in war and celebrating the return of the Ark of the Lord in the midst of the people. And to show his victory, he gave gifts, wonderful gifts to the people as he ascended up to Jerusalem. No loser has any gifts to share. But David had much to share because God blessed him and gave him victory. And of course, the soldiers and the leaders got their share first, because of their labors. But gifts were given to the people as well. They reap from what the leaders received. We see an account of this in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19, where he said, the scripture says, then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. So God used David's real life situation to be a type of what Christ would do. Well, let's look then at how David typified Christ. First of all, Jesus Christ gained a definitive victory over sin and death and hell on the cross. And then he ascended into heaven. He destroyed the devil and he redeemed his people by his blood. The ones who were once slaves and in sin, captive by their sinful nature, they were liberated. They were kept, as the psalmist says, by their captivity, and Jesus came and liberated them. And to do so, he had to descend. He had to descend from heaven to earth, descend into Mary's womb. And that's called the lowest parts of the part of the earth, according to Psalm 139. And then he descended even to the grave. But then he rose up, conquering sin and death and hell. And after that, he was raised up, raised into heaven, and many saw him as he was taken up by the cloud that day. After he ascended into heaven, having secured gifts for men, which is really the best way of translating that verse, he then spread his blessings. No, he's not here in his body anymore, but he is here by his Holy Spirit. And we are being blessed with heavenly blessings. Well, let's talk about the gifts that he passes on to us. First of all, there are varying amounts of a particular gifts, and there are varying gifts as well. What do I mean by varying amounts? Well, some people might be very skilled in their area. How many of us could stand up to the articulate nature of someone like Rabbi Zacharias, who passed away this week? He had incredible abilities of speech that way. Not everyone who is a teacher will have that same ability. That's okay, but when you think of the varying ability, think of your toes. You've got 10 toes, but they're not all the same size. They don't do all the same things. There's a variety in terms, or a varying amounts of a blessing that God's given to you in an area. Then there are also a variety of gifts. One man might be a teacher. One man might be a pastor. And to think of this, you think of the different parts of the body. One person might be a brain, one person might be a leg. So there are a variety of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Or Romans 12, 4, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, since God owns all gifts, he is able to give out gifts as he has determined, according to what suits his purpose. Keep in mind, of course, that some of these gifts you will have to develop. You have to be trained to be a pastor. You have to train to be a counselor. There may be that base gift that God's given to you, but he wants you to work on that. If you have the gift of hospitality, that's fine, but you have to learn how to cook, so you can use that gift of hospitality. So there's a training part where God wants us to be more prepared for the gifts that he has given to us. But one of the things we notice about these gifts as well is that when we see all these varied gifts and even varying amounts of the same gifts, it reminds us that there is no room for pride. Think about that. They're gifts. They're not things you earned, but gifts. So there's no room for pride, there's no room for envy, there's no room for contempt. All men are needed with all different kinds of gifts for the kingdom. So what are some of those gifts in particular that the Lord gave? In verse 11, he points them out. What are the main gifts that he has showered on his church? Now God gave people gifts. And these people gifts are special, unique, and there are also some general aspects of these gifts. And you notice the kinds of gifts that God gives. So many times we become preoccupied with possessions, the new car, the new boat, the holidays, the just those physical things. But the Lord has been pleased to bless us with people. What are those peoples that he described for us here? First of all, apostles. Now, the apostolic office in the original sense has passed away. An apostle had to be a witness of Christ's resurrection, be directly commissioned by Christ to one of his apostles, and had to have the power to do miracles to confirm his words. So that office has ceased. And yet, in a way, all Christians are apostles sent out in a general sense by God to the world. And he said they're prophets. These were the ones to whom God directly spoke, and then they would pass that message on to the church. But since, of course, now we have the whole counsel of God, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that office has also expired. And yet, in a general sense, all Christians are to speak God's truth. So in that sense, we're all prophets, not in the proper sense or the unique sense. Then third, he said evangelists. These are people who traveled around preaching the gospel, and they often worked at starting new congregations. Philip was an example of this. We can say an evangelist is a minister whose main duty is to evangelize the lost. And that was a special title for those commissioned by the church, ordained for that office. And yet there's also a general sense of this, where all Christians are called to give an account of the faith for the reason for the hope that they have, of the hope that they have. They have to evangelize. Everyone should be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who is lost, to be able to speak of who God is, his holiness, of man's fall into sin, of the work of Jesus Christ to redeem man. Every person should be able to explain that, starting in your homes. And everyone is commissioned to share the gospel. Fourth, there are pastors. Pastors. These are men who are called shepherds. They serve Christian people. They teach, they pray, they counsel. And a pastor is a minister for practical things in a permanent situation. And by the way, there's another word for, as I touched on already, there's the other word for pastor is shepherd, one who cares for sheep. And the Apostle Paul addressed them in a unique way in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when he was speaking to the Ephesian elders. Therefore, he said, verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, there is that unique office to which ministers are called to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel, to counsel, to pray. But sometimes I think we make a too greater distinction between the office of minister of the word and elders, as if elders were some kind of a low office. Well, the Lord Jesus here was calling the shepherds pastors. They had that work of caring for the flock as well. The implication here is that elders need to develop their gifts more. You are spiritual overseers. So elders should study hard, grow in knowledge, take counseling courses, be able to teach. The function of elders need to be raised up, I think, in our circles. Well, there's even another way in which we can speak of pastors. We have the specific office of minister of the word. But a father is a shepherd to his family. Big brothers are a shepherd to their younger siblings. We all have different ways in which we shepherd, apart from having the title of being minister or pastor in the official sense. And then the final gift he talks about, or these people gifts, be teachers. Teachers were given the primary task of teaching with no additional responsibility. They concentrated on teaching doctrinal matters, and they were not tied to a particular church. Today we can translate that to mean those who are skilled writer of good books, theological books, training people, or professors in universities or in seminaries. That's part of what God expects the shepherd to do. Jeremiah 3 verse 15 says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." So there are different functions within the leaders of the church. And yet, even in a broad sense, the wise man Solomon said in the Proverbs that mothers are teachers as well. So we've got the proper title, and then we have in different aspects where we are called to fulfill some of that function as well. The Lord has provided many different kinds of people gifts for his church, and he accomplished that when he came down, lived, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. Why is this important? These gifts help to keep the church strong and united. The Lord gives good gifts. Good gifts. We can become enamored with the sports car. Well, how does that help? That might help your ego, but it does not help the church. And it's okay, but that's just a frivolous thing compared to these real gifts that God has provided for his church. Well, how well do you receive the gifts of faithful teaching of God from each other, from the evangelist, from the pastor, from the teachers? If these are gifts from God, are you receiving these gifts? Do you listen with open hearts to the faithful instruction that you get from them week after week? If you don't, you are robbing yourselves of the blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ came and lived and died for. And you will rob Christ of his glory that belongs to him, where you will lift up praises when you receive these gifts. More, you will hamper the church from receiving God's fullest blessings if you don't listen attentively to the advice, to the sermons, to the rebukes that you get from those God has placed over you. But are these all the gifts? Are these all the gifts? Not at all. These are the main gifts, and that's what you find in the scriptures. The Lord will highlight the most important things with the understanding that the other things are there as well. So what are some other gifts you may have? You may have the gift of hospitality. You may have the gift of generosity. You may have the gift of being a prayer warrior. And boy, do we ever need that today. You may have the gift of encouragement at a time when many people are at home and depressed because of the loss of their jobs and being isolated and being sick. Some people have the gift of administration. And some people just have that all-round gift of helping. All of these gifts help to strengthen the church. So from this first point, I want you to think about this for a minute. What is your gift that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you? Do you feel the Lord has given you one of these gifts? Maybe some people may have more than one. Maybe calling you to one of these offices, to be a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, or gifts of hospitality, generosity, being able to pray and encouragement and administration and helping and all of that. If you have one of these gifts, are you developing it? Most people have to develop those gifts. And then are you using the gift for the glory of Christ? Are you using these gifts for the equipping of the saints so the saints can live better? The goal of these gifts is to bless others. So let's talk then about those goals. We've seen the gifts. The goals now of the gifts in Christian living, our second point. Verse 12 says it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for doing God's work. Now, there are different kinds of equipping that the church needs. So not all are evangelists, not all are teachers. And by the way, the word equipping is also translated to mend, to fix that which was broken. And it was a medical term that meant to set bones straight, broken bones straight. before casting the limb. And just even think about that. When someone has a broken bone, someone has to make the cast. Someone has to set the bones in place. Someone has to feed the person with the broken leg. We all have different functions within the church to help the church. See, even the best saints are imperfect, so you must help them to live holier lives. Yes, we have the righteousness of Christ counted as our righteousness when we were justified, but there's also hypocrisy that remains, and we need to help each other to remove our hypocrisies and display the perfection of Christ more and more. Think about what happens when someone has a, let's say a lady in the church has a miscarriage. Would you want to get an apologist to come to be with her? No. You'd want a pastor who can be there and empathize with her, maybe cry with her and pray with her. If someone is asking questions of the Christian faith, the one who has hospitality might prepare a nice meal, but you need someone who is specialized in bringing the arguments of the scriptures out clearly. So we all have our different functions. Sometimes they need a supper. Sometimes they need a hug. Sometimes they need a rebuke. Sometimes they need a theological treatise, something to explain the scriptures, all different functions. Now, here's the problem, one of the problems we need to guard at this time. Be warned, because churches can have an abnormal emphasis in one area and ignore other areas. One of the things I've noticed in recent last 20, 30 years is churches have become big on diaconal work. They're digging wells, they're feeding the poor, they're supporting food banks and doing many of those things. Now, there's nothing wrong in doing and helping the poor. That's part of Christian life. But if you become too focused on that and you don't evangelize the lost, the church is not going to be strong. The church is not going to be a living, breathing body of Christ. And then there's some churches who emphasize so much about doctrine and they don't show the love of Christ to those who are needy. Someone comes in the door, they're hearing all the doctrines but not enough of Christian. They're not seeing the Christian love. They're not welcomed as they ought to be. So we need all these different gifts. And what did the Apostle Paul say? He said these gifts help to edify, to build up. We get that the word edifice from this word, to build up something, to make them stronger. After all, who if you are on a construction site, do you want a frail-looking kid that's skin and bones there? You want someone who can lift lumber and pick up a saw and not worry too much about how heavy it might be. And that's what we need, that balanced person. Just like we need a balanced church. These gifts then, when they're applied, will cause the church to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comforts of the Holy Spirit. And then they will show Christ to the world. A healthy, well-balanced church. Unfortunately, you don't always have people who are working to build up in the churches. Sometimes you think they have the gift of obstructionism and the gift of dissatisfaction and the gift of gossip or the gift of indifference. Those are more hindrances. But you know there are always people like that. Whatever idea you come up with, they're opposing it. Well, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants those former gifts, that the church can become stronger and work together and help each other. So the church can become a healthy, living being. You know, I mentioned not too long ago, I wrote a little article for a congregation in Scarborough. And one of the things I mentioned is maybe God is not particularly pleased with our worship. I wonder if he is pleased. I wonder if he's really pleased with the church. In many ways, we've not been functioning properly. We have the gifts, we've not developed them so that we could use them as we should. Too many are focused on entertainment. Too many are focused on diaconal work. And very little of the gospel anymore, almost where anything goes in the churches, as long as you show up. Now, verse 13. These gifts will equip the saints, if they are used properly, they will equip the saints for the work of the church and will continue until the church comes to full unity, or the word is ripeness or fullness. And this is when the church will know Christ fully by faith. The language there, he says, come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Really, it's the same thing. Knowledge and faith, he's referring to the same thing here. And this is when the church will become like Christ is, perfect and free from sin. This unity will only be completed in heaven, where the saints will entirely unite in love and in peace, though they're beginning signs now. Now we see the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. We see blacks and whites together. We see rich and poor together. We see old and young together. We see man and woman together. That's what we have to build on, to build the unity of the faith, working together with the different gifts the Lord Jesus provided for us. So are you using your gift? And are you doing so consistently? Or are you waiting for things to improve before you make the phone calls to check up on the sick? Are you avoiding it because you might have to do something? See, now is a time when many people need that phone call, maybe that email, maybe to drop something over to their house. Maybe just to pay them a social visit, maybe a driveway visit, how much that might mean to them. You can't wait until it's convenient for you. You have to do it now. Are you waiting till you retire to serve as an elder? That's when many people want to do the work. I'll get to that, but right now I've got to make the money. Then when I retire, then I can do that work. But that's not how life works. We've been commissioned to live balanced lives now, not work now, make money, and then do church work later. And all the question I have is, what comes first, your comforts or the kingdom? See, working for the Lord sometimes is not convenient in our way of thinking. Maybe you have to give up something you enjoy doing, but it's for the work of the kingdom. And then are you getting the training you need to develop your gifts? The Lord expects us to do that as well. You don't automatically become an elder because you're old. You should be studying, preparing. Young men, start doing that now so you can be fit to serve as an elder. We don't need nice old people serving as elders. We need qualified men who can do the work that the Lord expects from elders, to really shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ, to work and take the load off of the pastor so he is not overwhelmed by all the work that is put upon him. And that's the next part. You've got your gifts that you need to use, but are you supporting the gifts of other people? Are you helping the pastor in shepherding the flock, or are you a demolition expert, blowing things up? Help your elders to build the church of Jesus Christ. Make their life easy. Pray for them. give to the work of the Lord, volunteer for activities, write missionaries to encourage them, pick up someone for church so they will not have to worry about getting here, visit a widower or a widow, help a single mother, help, especially if that mother has children. They could use a lot of help. Maybe taking their kids when you're going someplace. All of those things help to make the church stronger. These are gifts that God's given to you, and you must use them. Well, let's summarize and put these things together. First of all, Christ is a source of all gifts. He gained these gifts for you when he conquered sin, Satan, death, and hell. And because of his love for his church and his desire to see the church come to full knowledge of him and mature in grace and conquer the world for his glory, Christ has equipped the church with many gifts. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, the gifts for today. And then there are all those other gifts as well. The gifts of hospitality and generosity and being a prayer warrior and being an encourager and being an administrator and being a kind person. And he literally says he heaps these gifts on his church. You know, God has many gifts, and he's heaping them, not trickling out, but heaping them upon his church. God gives these gifts according to his pleasure, and therefore every man ought to be content with the measure of God's gift to him and use it for the benefit of the whole body. Don't be jealous of another man's gift. Then be ready to develop your gift. Ask for training. Get some training. You know, most pastors would love young men to go and say, I really want to get some training in preparation of serving the Lord in some other office. I feel that call. Would you train me? That gives a lot of joy to pastors to hear that. Or maybe there's wanting to do courses in counseling or other areas where you can work. And then remember the ultimate purpose of this. It's not about your glory. It's not about people saying, wow, that man's a great counselor, or she's so kind, she's giving things. The goal, of course, is the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave up heaven, humiliation, suffering humiliation, coming to the sin-cursed world, having to set aside his glory, enduring the mocking and the scorning, the place where his back became furrows as they put those hooks in his back and they pulled it. He's the one you should be doing these things for. It's for his glory. Of course, people may say thank you. Of course, the Lord will reward you. But he's already rewarded you. You have life eternal. It's your duty now to serve him, to be willing to sacrifice for him. And if you are listening and you're not a Christian, see how much God cares for those who are his. He wants us to live well and receive his blessings. He wants us to live for his glory. But none of these things will you be able to receive unless you ask him to make you his child. And what a blessing that would be. What joy you will reap if you are God's child. Well, my friend, this offer will not go on forever. If you ignore this offer, you will reap God's justice. See, Christ is ruling as king. He will come to take us to be with him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you and so on. And I will come and take you to be with me. But not you. You will be sentenced to hell. But if you ask him to make you his child, if you say, I believe that Jesus died in my place, took the full punishment for my sins, he will receive you. And I urge you to ask him today to receive you because of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wealth we have in Jesus Christ. For we were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. We were brought into this church, into this wonderful family of God. and we've been given tasks, but we were not abandoned. You give us everything, perfect gifts, that we could serve you. We could live for you, even in an antagonistic world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we will receive your gifts, sharpen them, get the training to use those gifts, and that we will work together for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the crisis we're going through right now, how badly we need a strong church. May we play our part and bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, for we pray in his name. Amen.